Good morning, everybody. I just want to make a special note for our members before we get into the lesson. If you don't normally pick up a bulletin, please do pick up one this morning. The article on the front page of the bulletin is talking a little bit about our training program that we're going to be doing this summer with John Banning. Very much looking forward to him being here. His first day in the office with me will be May 21st. And so I started this week, and I'll run a couple more for the next several weeks, just with some ideas about what that training program will involve. And I hope that you'll pay attention to some of those articles. Let's take our Bibles over to Genesis chapter 22. We want to welcome all of our visitors, invite you to please turn along with us, and just zero in on each of these steps that are being taken by Abraham in this chapter. Genesis chapter 22. Now it came about, verse 1. After these things, that God tested Abraham. And he said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. Verse 2. He said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. How do you even begin to wrap your mind around that? It's just one thing for him to say, you know, to offer this son. But even for those of us that have a son or have a daughter, we can't even completely put ourselves here because this is the son born in his old age. Nobody here had a baby in their 70s, 80s, or 90s. This is the son that he's been waiting for. This is the son that's of this promise. And verse 1 is really clear. God is testing him in this. God is setting in front of him something that is going to be difficult. And yet I am blown away by the one common theme through this whole chapter. God will provide. And it's not even God can provide. You know, all of us, we would sit here and intellectually we can say, well, God, you know, God could give me this child in my old age like Abraham. You know, God can create this whole world. God can. Abraham doesn't even say if God kind of decides to, God can do this. Abraham's heart with every step is God will provide. Guys, that's what I want us to focus on from this chapter this morning. So let's keep reading. Go to verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning and he saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split wood for the burnt offering. And he arose and he went to the place of which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and he saw the place from a distance. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there and we will worship and return to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took it in his hand, the fire and the knife, so that the two of them walked on together. And Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. He said, here I am, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. When you have the kind of faith that Abraham is demonstrating here, this very living and active faith, we can say, yeah, God will provide. Look at verse 3. How do I know that this is the faith that finds favor with God, that this is a faith that is living and active? Because the man gets up and chops firewood that morning. You know, if God has asked me to make some incredibly difficult sacrifice, if God's put my faith to the test like verse 1 and verse 2 indicate, then I may be saying to myself, I'll get to that eventually. But not Abraham. He's up early in the morning and he doesn't tell his servants, you go do this. God has asked it of him and he's not going to turn away from this responsibility. He is going to respond as he has ability. He's going to respond and he goes and he chops that firewood. And he starts getting everything together to act. When I think about my faith and when you think about your faith, can you examine yourself and can you look at this chapter and ask yourself, do I prepare myself? Do I equip myself for obedience the same way that Abraham does in this chapter? Abraham isn't going to leave anything out. Everything that he needs to fully obey this command, he's willing to pull together. Am I going to do that? Am I going to study my Bible so that I have the knowledge necessary to fully obey all of God's commands? Am I going to be getting up early in the morning, giving myself adequate time to accomplish the things that God has fully commanded? And then notice verse 4. Look at verse 4. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and he saw the place from a distance. After I've prepared myself and after I've kind of started on this journey and I get a glimpse of what this test is really going to require, that's a moment when a lot of people say, I just can't do this. And even with the wood and the fire and the servants, that's a moment where they see it right in front of them, they say, no, this is too much. And they turn around and go home. I'm impressed by the fact that he sees it and he knows what's coming. He knows how difficult it is. And instead of turning around, backing out, getting scared and going home, he presses forward. He even presses forward without the support of his servants that have come along this far. He says, you guys stay here. The lad and I will go and we will worship. This is a living and an active faith. Hold your finger here because we'll come back to Genesis 22. But please flip forward to the New Testament with me. And let's look at James' commentary on this passage. In the book of James in chapter 2 and verse 14. James chapter 2 and verse 14. When we think about the faith that says God will provide, this is how James describes it. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says that he has faith but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them that which is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is being dead by itself. Skip to verse 20. But are you willing to recognize, foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. When James says that Abraham believed God, it's not just that he believed God could provide. He believed that God would provide. Guys, I think if we could just get that down to the core of our very being, into the core of our heart, that God will provide, it will change the way that we live. It'll change the way that we make decisions. It'll change the way we handle our fears and our doubts. And Abraham's faith, I tell you what, it just comes from his core. Come back to chapter 22. Now, I know that we can't judge hearts because only God knows what is ultimately in the heart. But you know what we can judge? What's in people's hands. Look what is in Abraham's hands in verse 7 and in verse 8. In verse 6, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. I can't judge his heart, but if I just look at what's in his hand, I'd say that's a man that's ready for a sacrifice. If I just look at what's in his hand, I'll say that's a man that believes God will provide. I wonder what God would say about us with what's in our hand, with what we give ourselves to, with what we pick up. What's going to be in your hand? A Bible or a trashy novel? What's going to be in your hand? A meal for someone that's sick? Or just another thing to please yourself? What's going to be in my hand? Car keys to come to worship or a remote to sit on the couch? What is going to be in my hand? I can't judge your heart, but I can see what's in your hand. And even this young boy, he can see what's in his father's hand, and it's causing him to ask questions. Verse 7, Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father, here I am. Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? I can tell you what's in his hand, but I can tell you even a little bit more about his heart, because I can tell you the words in his mouth. Look at verse 8. God will provide. That's what's on his lips. That's the answer he has for his son. And I wonder, do we have that answer on our hearts and on our lips? When we're step by step by step getting closer to this difficult test, are we telling our family and our friends, God will provide. It's going to be okay. God is taking care of us. We are God's people. We are walking by faith, not by sight. God will provide. In fact, God will provide for himself. God will provide those things that bring him glory and that bring him honor. Is that in our speech? Are those our words? I tell you, these words reveal a lot more than even just what's in his hand. It reveals what's totally in his heart. He has placed his trust in God. Let's keep reading how this works out for him. Verse 9. So they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood. And he bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and he took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. Verse 12, he said, do not stretch out your hand against the lad. Do nothing to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham raised his eyes and he looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went, and he took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. When I look at the faith of Abraham here, I realize that Abraham's faith is strong because he's willing to accept that God is going to provide in his own ways. Guys, it's one thing to intellectually say God can provide. It's even another thing in our faith to say that God will provide. But it takes even greater faith to say, I accept that God will provide when he chooses in his time, as we just sang. God will provide in his own ways. Number one, I want to tell you about God's ways. God will provide and it will be perfect for what we need. But it won't always be what we want. And we just got to accept that. We've got to go ahead and get our minds wrapped around that. He is going to provide. But when I say God will provide, that does not mean God is an ATM machine. That I can push a couple buttons and get whatever I want out. No, God is going to provide what is needed. Not always what is wanted. Not always what is comfortable. But let me tell you, Satan will tempt us to say, I'll give you what's comfortable and what's wanted. Forget that needed stuff. I'll give you what's comfortable and what's wanted. And Satan's lying on both accounts, isn't he? Because what Satan ultimately gives us is not for our comfort. It's not for our good. And it certainly doesn't give us what we ultimately want, which is to have the hole in our heart filled with the love of God. It doesn't give us what we ultimately want in an eternity in heaven. And so we just have to accept that, yes, God will provide, but it will be what we need. And second thing we better accept, God's going to provide, and depending on how you want to look at it, it will either be at the perfect time or at the last minute. Okay? When we talk about auto manufacturing, we look at the supply chain and we have said this just-in-time supply chain, this just-in-time inventory. And we see that as a wonderful advantage in a manufacturing setting. Can we not see it as an advantage in the setting of spiritual things? That God doesn't provide months in advance or years in advance. So often, God provides right when it's needed. When he was 3 days away or 3 days into this journey and Abraham was able to look up and see the place, there was no ram in sight. And even when he is binding Isaac and setting him on the altar, there's no ram in sight. And even when he picks up the knife, all accounts are he hasn't seen this ram. And yet at the last minute, exactly when it's needed, God provides. Why would God do that? I mean, would we not just sit there and go, God, whew, why'd you put me through all that? You know, you really could have let me know there. You know why God provides at the last minute so often? Because every step he took further towards the mountain was a step of faith that honored God. And every time he wrapped that rope around his son was a step of faith that honored God. And as he reached out for that knife, there was a step of faith that honored God. And even though they were the only two people on the side of that mountain, millions, millions of people have heard this story and had their faith strengthened. And I don't know who's watching, I don't know who's listening, and I don't know one day who will hear your story. But God will provide. And every step of faith you take all the way up to the very last minute when God steps in and provides will ultimately be a step of faith that honors and glorifies God. And even if another human being never knows about it, Job chapter 1 suggests to us that Satan sees the faith of God's people. And God is honored in His heavenly throne and in the spiritual places. So when we accept God's ways, we have to accept that He will often provide even at the last minute. And number three, when God will provide, the blessings He gives us are for His purposes. This ram is not to be Isaac's new pet, is it? It's not like they look over at the ram and say, "Oh, I've always wanted a ram. I'll call him Rammy." No. Why was the ram there? To be used for exactly what God intended. And we have to look at the stewardship of our blessings. All that God has blessed us with. Can we not just say that God has provided abundantly? Oh, can we not be so thankful for all God has given us in our life? And yet what He has given us is not for our own glory. It's for His glory. And fourth, if you're going to accept God's ways, you need to just go ahead and know. Abraham had to go get that ram untangled. Abraham had to walk over there and get that thing, and he had to kill it and put it up on the altar. It required some effort. It required some action on Abraham's part. But do you think Abraham was sitting there choosing between the ram and his son and saying to himself, "God, I can't believe you're making me work for this. I can't believe to save my son's life, I've got to go all the way over here and do all of this work to prepare the sacrifice." I don't think Abraham had a hard time doing that work at all. It was a joy for him to do that work, to receive God's provisions and put the effort into it that God was honored with. And brothers and sisters, God is going to provide all that we need at the church here at East End. But He expects us to step up. He expects us to put the effort in to produce the glory that He is worthy of. And so Abraham just shows an incredible faith in this chapter. It's living and it's active. It comes from his very core. And he is accepting what God provides in God's own time. And then number four, Abraham remembers God's goodness. Can we read this again? Backing up to verse 13. Abraham raised his eyes and he looked. Behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and he took the ram and he offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." It gets this special designation. And you see the end of verse 14, "as it is said to this day." It's just remembered. Because this story is told over and over and over again. And instead of Abraham saying, "God, I can't believe you did this to me. I can't believe you brought me to the edge of killing my son, my only son that you've given. I can't believe this." You know what he does? He worships. He doesn't grumble. He doesn't complain. He doesn't say that was so hard or that was pointless or why did you? He worships God. He honors God's goodness. He says God has indeed provided, and he wants everyone to know this is the place where God has provided. What have we done to show that we remember all that God has provided? What have we done to show Him that we remember the spiritual blessings, the forgiveness and the mercy, the maturity and the leadership, the wisdom and the renewal that He has provided? Do we remember God's goodness? What have we done, as we say, to count our blessings? To know those physical blessings from family to friends, from our luxuries? Do we remember God is so good? Abraham does. And in his worship, he establishes this a place where the Lord's provisions will always be recounted. Verse 15. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven. And he said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens, as the sand which is on the seashore. Your seed shall possess the gates of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Maybe we could just underline. If you're an underliner, you could underline that at the end of verse 18. You have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham lived at Beersheba. Abraham is a man that obeys God's voice. And this is perfectly keeping with what we read from James chapter 2, that it's this living and active faith. It's a faith that is obedient. It's been well said that we live in the attention economy. We are constantly having our attention vied for. Procter & Gamble wants you to pay attention to their newest soap. Ford, Toyota, Dodge, they want you to pay attention to their newest vehicles. Your friends on Facebook want you to pay attention to their latest post or their latest tweet or what. We live in the attention economy. Whose voice are you listening to? Because Abraham reminds us, I've got to be the person who listens to the voice of God. I've got to be the person that listens to God's voice when He asks me to do extraordinary things. Even if initially they seem extraordinarily difficult. I want to listen to the voice of God. And there are so many that are competing for your attention and for my attention. There's the voice of the little league coach saying that your kids have to be here and have to go there. There's the voice of our education system saying they've got to do this and they've got to study that. There's the voice of our peers. There's the voice even of the grass that's 2 inches too tall and your lawnmower seems to be calling to you from the garage. There are so many voices out there. But whose voice are we going to give number one priority to? For Abraham, it was God. And for every one of us, for my family, for your family, we have to listen to the voice of God. Because it is God that will provide. Have I driven that point home this morning? I sure hope so. Because this is a phenomenal chapter. And I wonder, is there someone here that you've been wrestling with the idea of putting God number one, always first in your life? Of God being the one that you choose to follow because He will provide. Can I ask you to go ahead and stand? I'm going to have a few more words, but go ahead and stand. You guys, you can put the song up if you want to. As we get ready to sing this song, it has a very special purpose in our worship today. This is a time where if you have not been listening to the voice of God, if you have not been walking by faith like Abraham was walking by faith, that you can choose to turn around and say, it's not my boss that's going to provide. It's not my rich uncle that's going to provide. It is God that will provide, and it is God that I put my faith and my trust in. Jesus told us in Mark chapter 16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. God is going to provide a day of judgment. Be prepared for that day by having your sins washed away in Christ. He has provided eternal life. If you can come and receive that, then come at this time while we sing.